Comes to the preaching of the gospel, just like it is with many other things that we face in life. The gospel message is one that not only has to be the right message and the right preached at the right place by the right person, it's got to be preached at the right time. Timing is critical. We got home last night, and I had taken the boys out for the afternoon. And one of the things that I found in the pocket of my pants, and I'm still trying to figure out where I got it. And I know that's said, Brother Will, how'd you end up with something in the pocket of your pants that you didn't know was there? But it was a little bitty plastic snake about this long. And from time to time, people in my office will play a joke with something like that. So it probably came from there, but I just can't remember being part of the joke. I didn't remember. It being in my pocket. But, we kind of had a laugh or two about it during the afternoon with the boys. And Billy grabbed it, and we got home last night, and he was going to scare his mama with it. And we weren't home long to find out that, she had just gotten the youngest to sleep, and the crowd that had just come in was a little bit louder than what she had desired it to be. And I told Billy, I said, now's not the time. Now's not the time. It's not going to be real funny if you do it right now. I said, I think it'll be funny at some point in time, but probably timing is not right. Well, I knew Brother John was coming today. He called me on Tuesday, and I told him I wanted to share time with him. I told him this morning, I said, not only is my voice giving me a little bit of trouble, but I don't need much time. But I want to draw your attention to Philippians chapter 3, because I think the timing is right for these words that Paul wrote into the church at Philippi. Hearing those things that Brother John has brought to our attention this morning, tells the church at Philippi, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord."
Amen.
Rejoice in the Lord. You know, he's exhorting this congregation of believers. And whenever you exhort someone, timing is important. He's already mentioned several precious things to them in the first two chapters of this letter unto them. And as he closes this letter to them in the last two chapters, he begins and he tells them, he says, "Finally, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord."
Yeah.
You know, there's a multitude of reasons that you can go through the Scriptures and you can see why the Lord's people rejoiced in the Lord. You can read that they rejoiced in the Lord because of the truth in His Word. You can read in the Scriptures where, if you'll remember in Luke chapter 10, that whenever the Scripture tells us that Jesus sent out the 70, that 70, that they came back to Jesus and they were just, they marveled at how the spirits were subject unto them. And they told Jesus, they said, "Even the spirits are subject unto us." And the Lord told them, He said, "In those things rejoice not."
Yeah.
Because He knew that there was a time component to those gifts that they had. And if you're going to find rejoicing in that, it's eventually going to go away and you're going to lose your joy. But He said, "Rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven."
Yeah.
The Scripture tells us that we've got many things to rejoice about. And Paul, whenever he wrote the church at Philippi, he told them, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things unto you is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision." And I believe in the next verse, in verse 3, he gives them a few reasons why they have to rejoice. He says, "Rejoice, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." In verse 3, he gives them some reasons why they are on shouting ground as being the church at Philippi. He says, "For we are the circumcision." Rejoice because of who you are. Rejoice because of who you are. You know, the Scripture uses the term circumcision to teach us about covenants and promises, as Brother John has brought to our attention this morning. A covenant is given in order as a sign of a promise. The promise that the Lord gave that He would not again destroy the earth by a flood. He gave them a covenant and a sign of a bow in the clouds. It was a sign of a promise. The Scripture speaks to Abraham, and there was a covenant made with Abraham, and because of the covenant that was made, he was to circumcise his children and so on and so forth. We read that that was part of the law that the Lord gave to Moses as a sign of a promise. Rejoice because of who you are. He says, "We are the circumcision." And I want to tell you, little Lamb of God, today, if there's ever been something to rejoice in, it's that you are the circumcision. And that is that you are the people of the living God. That's what that sign was given, so that they would be able to see fulfilled in the promises of God that we are the people of God. Not only being the covenant children of God, but He says we are the circumcision, which do worship the Lord in spirit and do rejoice in the Lord. He says not only are you the covenant promise children of God, but you're also those that are like, in the Scripture, it also speaks to us about that label of circumcision given unto the people of Israel. And the people of Israel, well, who were they in the Scriptures? They were the ones who the Lord chose to give His laws unto. They were the ones who the Lord chose to give His oracles to. What advantage then hath the Jew? Well, what profit is there of what circumcision? Much every way, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. And I want to tell you, little lamb of God, today, if you have a hope in your heart that you belong to God by grace, you are of the circumcision, and if you are gathered with the people of God at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church this morning, I want to tell you, you're blessed to be able to be a favorite among the few in that gracious, large family of the people of God that do worship the Lord in spirit and in truth and do rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord because of who you are. You know, Paul said it this way. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Therefore, I labored more abundantly than they all. You know, some people read that and they say, see, he had to labor to be a favored child in the grace. No, that was his motivating factor. Is that because I'm a product of the grace of the Almighty God, I labor and I work therein because of what the Lord has made me. Rejoice in the Lord because of who you are. Not only does he say in verse 3, rejoice in the Lord for who you are. Rejoice in the Lord for what you're doing. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you're doing. He says, we are the circumcision which do worship the Lord in the Spirit and do rejoice in the Lord. Which worship the Lord in the Spirit. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you're doing. You know, the people of God have... people in the Lord have gathered together and done what you're doing this morning. Since the Lord gave His church, since the Lord established His church. And that is that they have come out from among the world and they've gathered together for the purposes of worship. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever I do something, or whenever I'm involved with something that people for a long time have been doing, to me it's something that's special. You know, we try to spend as much time as a family as we can. We take our kids to go do things that we would have never done growing up. And I don't say that as being critical to my mom and daddy. My daddy was never one for exercise, I can tell you that. We used to pass by people that would be jogging around the track in Swainsboro. And he said, I never have understood why people would just go jog. You know, but he worked on a farm. He got his exercise through his job. And some of us that, you know, stare at a computer a good portion of the day, we need some sweat on our forehead, if you will, to be able to get some energy out. But you know, we take our children to go hiking on Pine Mountain or Pine Log Mountain. We take them to go with bicycles over to Berry College. And you know, when we take them for the second and third time, you know, I can't help but think, you know, here we're doing something that we've already done before. And it touches my heart that maybe one of these days that my kids will follow through and take their family and go forth and do as and follow through with things that we established just when within our little family. I want to tell you, you're gathered here this morning and you're worshiping the Lord in the presence of the Spirit of the Almighty God. And the Lord, whenever He established His church, He told, even Paul, whenever he told Timothy, he says, the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, the same very things. Whenever we're speaking about the worship of the Lord, rejoice in the Lord because of what you're doing. Whenever you're speaking about the worship of the Lord, it is not something where newness is welcome, because it is the same things that were done then that the Lord observes now and expects to be continued in. In that verse I just quoted to you from 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's four generations in that same verse. Paul says, the things which thou hast heard of me. Now you could add five. Let me add five, because Paul was giving them from the Lord. So there you have the Lord giving it to Paul. And Paul telling Timothy, the things which thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men, generation 4, which shall be able to teach others also, generation 5. And that's all given in the same verse of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you're doing this morning. What you're doing is honorable in the eyes of the Almighty God. What you're doing is singing praises unto Him. What you're doing is reading from His holy word. What you're doing is being comforted by the promises, just as Brother John has brought to our attention this morning. What you're doing is praising and glorifying our God in heaven. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you do. And I want to encourage you in what you're doing. I want to encourage you to continue it. Yeah. I want to encourage you to continue in the same path that Paul gave to Timothy and told him to walk in. Last one. Not only are we told to rejoice in the Lord because of who we are, rejoice in the Lord because of what we're doing. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you're not doing. He says at the end of verse 3, he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the Lord because your confidence is not in the flesh. See, the following verses that continue down here, Paul brings to our attention that if any man was ever going to trust in the flesh, he should have been the one that could say, the flesh can get you places. Thankfully, I don't think you've ever heard me say that, not without a smirk anyway, of telling you that the flesh is what we depend on. But if there was ever a man that could be something in the eyes of God because of what he was by nature and what he was according to his flesh, Paul was the man. Paul was the man that was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was concerning the law a Pharisee. Paul, the scripture says concerning zeal, that he persecuted the church of God. He was, according to the flesh, anything that a flesh could make you anything, he would have been the one, but he said no. He said, rejoice in the Lord, not only because of who you are and what you do, but because of what you don't do, and that is that your confidence does not come from the flesh. What's your confidence in this morning? What is the complete opposition to the flesh? What is the complete opposition to carnal flesh? It's the Holy Spirit God. That's what the opposite of that is. And I want to tell you this morning, I trust that your confidence is not in the flesh, but your confidence is in the Lord. It doesn't matter whether or not you're talking about our eternal salvation. I trust our confidence is not in the flesh. You know, and I just, you know, in order to just put it the way that it needs to be put, if your home in heaven is because of something that you've done, your confidence is in the flesh. If your home in heaven and the hope that you have is because of what Jesus has done, your confidence is in God. And that is that He's done it for you. But I want to tell you, not only is it true from a home in heaven standpoint, but it's true whenever we talk about promises here in this world as well. We need to lean and depend upon the Lord. And it doesn't mean that He as a puppeteer in heaven is going to make you do and make you move in accordance with His will. But as we move and do and follow the instructions that He's given us, let us not depend on our flesh, but let us trust in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord because of who you are. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you're doing. Rejoice in the Lord because of what you're not doing. Rejoice in the Lord because of the marvelous truth that Elder John Scott has brought to our attention this morning. And that is that things that we see here are temporal. But we're headed to a place that's eternal and forever. And it's by a promise of the Almighty God that we have a hope and trust that we're going to that place. Rejoice in the Lord because He's bought your soul, bought your body, and that He's promised that He's coming again to take you where He is. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning. You just close your mouth.
No matter how dark the night, with Him, through tempest or sinking sand. and